Louisiana Radio Network Sports, I'm Andre Champagne. State police released video this morning that provides evidence on why former LSU receiver Kyron Lacy was charged with negligent homicide, felony hit and run, and reckless operation of a vehicle. The video clearly shows Lacy driving at a high rate of speed and passing multiple vehicles in a no-passing zone on LA Highway 20 in Lafourche Parish moments before the driver of a Kia Cadenza heading northbound swerved to the left to avoid Lacy's green Dodge Charger. Witnesses immediately identified Lacy's green Dodge Charger as the one that caused the wreck.
Charger flying that way? A green Charger that going that way?
There was
a green Charger that
caused all this.
SRT8. He calls all of it. He went to pass the cars way back there, sir.
During the video, a state trooper interviews the female driver of the Kia Cadenza, who, according to investigators, took evasive action to avoid impact with Lacy's vehicle.
I just know the truck was stopping on brakes. The other car was trying to pass the other car. I was trying to dodge by not hitting him by coming around.
LRN.
Unleash the wild side of LSU sports. Tiger Rag Magazine is not your average sports read. It's the jungle of jaw-dropping plays, the roar of the crowd, and the stripes of true sportsmanship. Every page of Tiger Rag pounces with in-depth analysis, exclusive interviews, and stories that leap off the page faster than a tiger chasing a Georgia Bulldog. Don't settle for the sidelines. Tiger Rag Magazine puts you front and center of the action. Subscribe now and transform your LSU sports experience. Tiger Rag Magazine, the Bible of LSU sports.
LSU's offense ranks 80th in the country when it comes to scoring, averaging just 27 points a game. Head coach Brian Kelly says the offense showed improvements over the bye week.
We have to be more efficient in our passing game. We've got to hit shots down the field. And then we have to be much more efficient with the run game. So we've been working hard on it. Our guys have. Proud of the way they really locked in last week in a bye week. And my expectations is this offense is going to continue to get better week after week.
Despite facing one of the best defensive fronts in all of the NFL, the Saints' offensive line did not allow quarterback Spencer Rattler to be sacked once in the 26-14 win over the Giants. Head coach Kellen Moore says he's impressed with the entire group.
Zero sacks against that group is phenomenal. I thought Kelvin and Tolley playing tackles against those premier edge rushers, I thought they just did a phenomenal job. The whole group as a core did. Eric leading the way. I thought there were so many positives there. Trevor getting back in the mix. Selly going in there and just battling every play. It's an awesome group.
LRN Sports, I'm Andre Champagne.
Y'all ready? Y'all ready?
Yeah.
Let's go. Come on.
Tiger Rag Radio is on the air.
Let's crank this thing up.
We're statewide breaking down the latest happenings with LSU athletics.
This is us.
Hear from the coaches.
We're put together a defense that puts us in a position to win the SEC.
The players.
We're having fun and we're working, baby. That's it, baby.
The recruits.
Show some passion and some heart.
And those who cover the Fighting Tigers of LSU and the SEC.
All those things are going to be there, which are important.
In 2 hours of nonstop LSU talk.
What a privilege. I mean, you get to represent LSU.
Tiger Rag Radio is brought to you by Cummins. Cummins creates power solutions that the world depends on. Louisiana Beef Industry Council. Boudreaux's Electrical Services. Sunshine Quality Solutions. Super Chevy Dealers. And Louisiana Farm Bureau Federation. Get ready to talk Tigers with producer Andre Champagne and our host, Todd Horn, Jeff Palermo, and Glenn Gilbo.
Three great players that are better people than they are players.
This is Tiger Rag Radio, live from Super Chevy Dealers Studio.
And we're back for hour number two of Tiger Rag Radio. Jeff Palermo, along with the executive editor for Tiger Rag Magazine, Todd Horn, and the editor, Glenn Gilbo. Glad you could join us on this Tiger Rag Radio Tuesday night for those that are listening to us live, and those for that might be hearing us on a different day, depending on what station you are listening to. You can always go back to TigerRag.com to listen to previous shows, or follow the Tiger Rag YouTube channel to if you miss our show or you want to catch back up on it. That's a perfect way to do that and listen to podcasts and all that kind of stuff that Tiger Rag produces. Let's bring in our next guest, a big part of that 2019 LSU National Championship team that we remember so fondly. That is defensive tackle Braden Fehoko joins us here on Tiger Rag Radio. Braden, thanks a lot for joining us. How you doing tonight?
Man, thank you guys for having us. I'm excited. You know, I'm always bleeding purple and gold, probably. You know, and some of it may be a little more emotionally said than logically, but no, man, I'm great. Thank you guys for having me on the show tonight, man.
Well, Braden, hey, this is Todd. I want to especially thank you for coming on, because last week I was sitting down writing my column, which I was basically criticizing Brian Kelly continuing to make poor decisions every year that costs the team, whether it's special teams his first year, defense his second year, now offense heading into this year. And then I come across your podcast with a message to LSU football. Can you give us a little insight as to what you were saying in that podcast? I'd rather you do it than me do it.
Yeah. You know, I mean, just a quick summary, man, as an alumni and somebody who's bled the purple and gold and poured his blood, sweat and tears into the program. Man, when I watch LSU, it's almost painful to watch, just because of the product I'm seeing. When I see LSU, man, it's hard. I don't see any fight. I don't see a team that wants to go out and dominate people. And don't get me wrong, right? The NIL and everything has the playing field leveled right now more than it ever has been. I get that. But just the thought of LSU and what I said in my video, and I stated that when people see LSU on the schedule now, it isn't like, whoa, guys, we have LSU, let's lock in this week. It's we got LSU. You know, and that's one of the biggest things that kind of bugs me now, and it bugs other teammates, and I won't go into depth because, you know, those guys wish to keep their opinions private, and you know, definitely so, and we still talk in our group chats from our 2019 season, but those guys are disappointed as well. You know, the product we see Saturdays is just, it's terrible. It's sometimes it's unwatchable when you have a premier defense with what Baker's been doing, and then you go on offense and you lay an egg like they have been doing. And I said the signs have been there. They barely put up 20 points against Louisiana Tech. DJ Lagway throws 5 interceptions. They play Florida at home and they only put up 20 points. And, you know, you continually see the answers, right? You know, and I'd be a fool to sit here as a head coach and be like, something happens to me the first time. Okay, cool. But in the words of the great Mike Tomlin, 2 is a pattern, and it's been happening more than twice, you know. And so that's kind of the biggest message I had was just there's no identity when I watch LSU football. I just don't see no fight. I just see a team that is paid for rather than built up, and that's sad because that's the way the college ranks are nowadays.
Do you think that can be corrected? I mean, like I was just telling Glenn last segment, you know, watching the Ole Miss game, that was the most horrifying thing to me watching the Ole Miss game was the fact that they were beaten on both sides of the line of scrimmage physically most of the game. And that's not an LSU team.
No, it's, you know, it's sad because if you guys remember in 2017, we lost to Troy. That was one of the lowest of the low moments in LSU history. On homecoming night, you're paying a team 1.2 or whatever we paid Troy to come in, and we're paying them to essentially put the beat down on them. And, you know, we lost. And so after that game, I remember Duke Riley, he came to the facility that next week, and it wasn't on no buddy-buddy friendship, big bro stuff. It was a ripping. And I won't go into the explicit words he shared with us, but just know it wasn't suitable for kids and parents to hear what he had told us. But part of that was the culture, right? The coaches didn't need to tell us what was missing. It was passed down by the guys that played before us, and we just knew we didn't want to disappoint them. We knew the product that was being put out on a weekly basis, and we knew what we had to fix. When I watch LSU against Ole Miss, yeah, the score seems closer than it is, but if you actually watch the game, Ole Miss dominated for a lot of that game. If Ole Miss doesn't fumble on that receiver with mm-hmm. the play, you know, weeks recovered, Ole Miss goes up 2 scores easy coming into halftime, like, things like that, you know what I mean? Like they controlled the game, they dominated the game, the defense was out there for too many snaps. Is it something you can fix? No, because these are things you fix in the months of January up until July. You can't fix these things in the season.
So this $18 million spent on this roster this year and this great defense from a, you know, NFL talent perspective, because there's probably several NFL players on that defense, is basically going to be wasted this year, more than likely.
More than likely, and a lot of people didn't like what I had to say, because I said on my video, I said that with LSU's schedule coming up, they play South Carolina, Vanderbilt, Oklahoma, Alabama, Texas A&M. To me, The only game that is possibly a win is South Carolina this week. Outside of that game, and I hope they prove me wrong, and I hope this gets thrown back at my face, but I don't see LSU making it past 7-8 wins this year. And that's just culture. That's just identity. It's painful to watch, and I sound like a broke record saying it, but when you look at teams like Alabama, new coaching staff, DeBoer, but you just see the talent. They play hard. Like, the identity is still Alabama, right? Don't get me wrong. They lost to a Florida State team in week one. They went out, dominated Georgia. They went out last week, dominated a 5-0 Vanderbilt team. Like, the identity is still there. It doesn't matter who's coaching. They have playmakers on offense. They play gritty on defense. These are things you expect to see LSU, and especially in year three under Brian Kelly. Because year three under Ed Orgeron, we went 15-0 and won the national championship.
It's actually year four under Brian Kelly.
Yeah, but I think he was talking about...
Oh, I hear you.
Year four.
Right. I hear
you. Four. Sorry. Yeah.
Hey.
Sorry about that.
That's all right. We're talking to Braden Fajoco here on Tiger Rag Radio. Aloha, Braden. I really enjoyed covering you in the 2019 season. I wanted to ask you, you were released in August by the Steelers. You've had some injury issues. Have you decided to finish your NFL career, or are you going to try again?
You know, honestly, 6 years in, and I just had this talk with my wife the other, maybe 2 weeks ago. Man, at this point in my career, my body's been beat up. I've had maybe two or three calls within the last month or so to go out and play with teams and sign with teams. But
yeah,
I think more so physically, my body isn't in the shape it needs to be in to play football right now. And so I wanted just to take a step back and, you know, focus on my family, focus on my health, and just kind of see what I wanted to do. And I told my wife, unless I was 100%, I'd go do it. And right now, just in the state of where I am as a football player, as an athlete, I'm not in that right state. I'm not healthy enough to go out and play. And so I put my focus into the media side and building my brand and trying to grow that part of my game.
Well, from interviewing you, you got some natural talent for the media business. Where are you guys living now?
I'm in Texas right now, and we stay here. I bought a house here. I have a property here. I have a property in Arizona. Looking to buy one as a rental in Baton Rouge college kids, but that's to be determined. Just because I know what my life was like in college, and so don't know if I want to take that risk of having a rental out there in Baton Rouge.
Braden, if you were a defensive lineman, obviously you are a defensive lineman, were a defensive lineman. The biggest concern with LSU right now, from an overall standpoint, is that offensive line and is that running game. What do you see from the perspective of a nose tackle as the biggest problem with LSU's offensive line and their running game?
Man, I just see no physicality. I don't see guys just trying to finish guys after the whistle. And I get it, right? You're not going to break every run that's called for 20 yards and explosive carries. But when I watch LSU, man, I just want to see a team that just, like, go bury somebody 5 yards down the field after the whistle. If you watch 2019, man, go watch Damian Lewis's tape. You know, just watch what Damian Lewis was doing. Watch what Adrian McGee was doing against Vanderbilt when guys came on a looping twist and he de-cleated guys. You know what I'm saying? Like,
wow.
That's just that's the mentality that you just – if a play doesn't work out, cool. Like, not every play is going to be perfect, but, my goodness, go out and kill somebody. Not literally and figuratively, but go put your will against somebody. This is a grown man's football. You play for LSU. There's a tiger decal on the side of your helmet. You know, Lord forbid you go out there and try to impose your will, because that's what LSU standards all about. And that's just what I see when I see the O-line. It's just – it's too pretty. It's too much
finesse.
Just guys – it's just – man, it's a lot of guys that are afraid to get their hands dirty. And it pains me because Brian Kelly is an offensive line guy. I mean, you look at the offensive line he's been able to produce throughout his years at Notre Dame, like – I'd expect something to click at LSU, but it hasn't, and the product doesn't look good.
Do you think he's responsible for that?
100%. He's responsible for the product that's on the field, whether it's good, whether it's bad. If LSU was sitting here winning, we'd point the finger to Brian Kelly and say Brian Kelly is solely responsible for winning. But when the product is bad and, you know, the players aren't performing, the first person we're going to look at is the head coach, the guy who puts the pieces to the puzzle together.
And you know, Braden, it's amazing because four starters from that offensive line last year got drafted into the NFL, and they couldn't run the ball well last year.
Yes. And that, you know what that tells me? That's just talent. That's just guys having the pure skill and will to just be talented. Now, coaching from a coaching perspective, if you're not able to put those pieces together and build the Mona Lisa or build the Picasso, then my goodness, we need to find somebody who can do it, because we did it with lesser talent in 2019, but my goodness, we painted a pretty good Picasso, if you ask me.
I would agree.
It's interesting, though. When I think of the 2019 team, I think of one of the most talented teams in college football history. And you're saying this team, in your opinion, has more talent than you guys had?
No, I think he was saying the offensive line last year may have had more talent than the 19 offensive line.
Yeah,
100%. I mean, Will Campbell was he the third guy off the board this year?
Fourth guy.
Miles Frazier got drafted. Who else got drafted? There was two other guys I'm missing. Sorry if I botched them. That got drafted from last year's team on the offensive line. But, I mean, 100% from a talent perspective, these guys were, I mean, light years more talented than what we had in 2019.
Do you have any plans to go back and try and fire up this team?
I'd like to. And I kind of got ridiculed about it. One of my buddies, he's a really close friend of mine. He's an LSU booster. I won't release his name, but he had sent me, funny enough, he had sent me a forum post on Tiger Droppings about what I had said, about my message to LSU football. And it was about how the culture at LSU between guys coming back and whatnot. And so in my video, and I wanted to address this publicly because people were just being like, you know, Braden doesn't know nothing. Braden is, you know, what he's saying right now is just foolish. And I'm like, okay. So what I had said in the video was the first year Brian Kelly got there, when guys technically would come back to work out at LSU in the off season from the months of January up until June, July, when they're getting ready for training camp in the NFL, they would come and work out with us, the Devon Godshaws, the Arden Keys, the Kendall Beckwiths, you know, the Duke Rileys, the Jamal Adams, all these guys would come back, right? That was the standard. When Brian Kelly first got there, he fired Tommy Moffitt, all these good people there. There was, whenever we'd go back, whenever guys wanted to go back and work out, they would go into the weight room and they were excused out. And they said, you have to schedule a time to come in here. You can't be working out when the guys are working out in here. And they did everything new. They wanted a new structure in there, and that was Brian Kelly's word. And that's what I wanted to say. Now, people were saying that, well, there's guys that show up to the games every weekend. Well, that's different. Guys have always been showing up to the game. But how you build a culture with the older guys about coming back, you do that from the months of January up until June and July when they're around the pro guys, when they're around the guys that have put their blood, sweat, and tears. That's what I wanted to address. It wasn't the guys showing up on their bye weeks throughout the NFL year to come and watch the games. It was coming back and grinding and putting your blood, sweat, and tears with the young pups that are going through it right now.
Braden, we got to go on that note. Great hearing your voice, man. We wish you the best of luck. Best wishes to you and your family.
Appreciate you. Thank you, guys.
Former LSU Tiger national champion Tiger Braden Fajoca will be back after this here on Tiger Rag Radio from the Super Chevy Dealer Studio.
Cummins is known for their commitment to quality, performance, and products that are built to last. They make it their business to understand their customers' priorities and partner in their success. Cummins has the technical expertise and experience to deliver fast, high-quality repairs using genuine parts. And by calling 1-800-Cummins, you have access to one of the largest and most capable sales, service, and support organizations in the industry 24/7. For more information on Cummins products, service, or support, call 1-800-Cummins.
I'm Richard Fontenot, president of the Louisiana Farm Bureau Federation. For more than 100 years, Louisiana Farm Bureau has been the voice of Louisiana agriculture. Louisiana Farm Bureau advocates on behalf of all the farmers and ranchers across our great state. What that really means is we advocate for you to ensure we have the safest, most abundant, and affordable food supply in the world. Louisiana Farm Bureau is 145,000 members strong, and we want you to join the Louisiana Farm Bureau family.
Visit lafarmbureau.org, the Louisiana Farm Bureau Federation, the voice of Louisiana agriculture.
When the power goes out, your life is disrupted. Heat, air conditioning, refrigeration, phones, all gone. Be prepared for the next outage with a Generac home standby generator. After sensing a power outage, a Generac generator automatically restores your home's power, whether you're home or away. Power your life with a Generac home standby generator.
Go online to BoudreausElectrical.com for information about Generac standby generators.
Tiger fans, are you looking for the latest news on all things LSU? Then Tiger Rag Magazine is your go-to source. Whether you pick up the magazine or browse over to the website, Tiger Rag Magazine provides you with the most up-to-date information on all the sports, university, and recruiting news that matters to you. Find it at your local newsstand or online at TigerRag.com.
Here we go!
Let's face it, we all know that the recruiting scene at LSU can get a little wild. Don't fret. Now more than ever, Tiger Rag Magazine is staying ahead of the game when it comes to name, image, likeness regulations. Thanks to our Tiger Rag Magazine experts and analysts, we can help you understand what it means to LSU and how you can stand formed on this rapidly changing landscape. Plus, our website makes it easy for fans to get their hands on all the information they need about LSU athletics. Get your subscriptions today. So, if you're looking for in-depth coverage of everything LSU, look no further than Tiger Rag Magazine. Available on newsstands or online, TigerRag.com.
The IRS is the most powerful collection agency in the world.
I couldn't sleep. We were being audited.
They do not give up until you pay.
They put a lien on my house.
How about you? Do you owe back taxes? Call Tax Solutions now and get some help. For a limited time, the IRS offers a tax forgiveness program called the Fresh Start Initiative. Our team can make it easier for you to pay back taxes, avoid tax liens, and get a fresh start. Sometimes you just need a second chance.
I call Tax Solutions Now, and they got the IRS off my back.
At Tax Solutions Now, our affiliates are all accredited by the Better Business Bureau and members of the National Association of Tax Professionals.
We saved our home and overcame the most powerful collection agency in the world.
Time is running out. Call Tax Solutions Now.
Call 800-319-6697. 800-319-6697. 800-319-6697.
Tiger Rag Radio is back on the air, live from Super Chevy Dealer Studio.
All right, it's been a very negative 2 weeks here on Tiger Rag Radio from the Super Chevy Dealer Studio. Jeff Palermo, Todd Horn, and Glenn Gilbo. LSU could really use a win to brighten up the mood, but I mean, it goes all the way back to last week when we had former LSU quarterback Rohan Davey on, and he talked about how there was a lot of disconnection with this team. And then we heard from Mike Scarborough from Tiger Bait earlier about Garrett Nussmeier didn't necessarily put in the work that was necessary in order to help this offense get off to a good start. And then you hear from Braden Fajoco, and this team's not playing with the heart. There's a divide between the current players and the alumni, not because of the current players, but because of the coaching staff. There's just a lot of, man, you know, just what, you know, everything was hunky-dory, almost hunky-dory, going into the Ole Miss game.
And they lost one game on the road to a good team by less than a touchdown.
But they were underdogs in that game.
But, you know, I'll give you this. The LSU football fan base, and I've always thought this, is more negative than most fan bases.
You think?
Like, yeah, because the other schools I've covered, they kind of live in a dream world. Alabama does. Of course, that's a little understandable because they've won more than anyone.
Yeah.
But even when I covered Auburn, they always thought they were much better than they were.
Right.
And so does, like, Tennessee fans.
Yeah.
And even when I was covering Missouri briefly, they were like that too. And I'm like, what are you guys talking about? Y'all haven't done anything. LSU fans, I mean, they can be more negative than most, because I think they're more candid and they're more realistic is what I'm trying to say. Like, LSU only has one loss right now, but these are knowledgeable fans and they see how LSU is playing, and they're not living in a delusional world. They know that if they keep playing like this, they're going to lose three or four games.
Yeah, and I think it's
– and I'll give it to the fans.
And I think that a lot of times they want to believe what their head coach is telling them in the preseason, and I think time and time again – this particular head coach.
Well, Les Miles was even worse. Les Miles was even worse. There was so many times about how the offense was going to be different, and then you kept seeing a halfback toss over and over again. I think nothing's changed. Dude.
I think they're used to that. But I think they're tired of this non-physical play.
Well, let me ask you this. I don't know how much college football you guys watched on Saturday. And granted, a lot of the teams were off this week too. But here you saw, was it the AP poll that had both Texas and Penn State ranked number 1-2 in the preseason?
They're both out of the poll. There's a lot of teams that just don't look good. They don't have a real great-looking team right now.
So do you feel, I don't know if the right word, after watching this past week and seeing all these teams that have, I mean, Texas has got the same issues that LSU has. They have a quarterback that's not playing to the level that he needs to play at.
And he looks like he's hurt.
And they have an offensive line that's just garbage, and LSU's offensive line is not very good.
Would you say it's garbage?
I don't think it's very good.
I was just
curious. I think I was a, I don't know. Garbage is a strong garbage is a strong word.
But it's good enough for Texas.
Because it's Texas. Right, I wasn't right. going I was trying not to be so negative, Todd. Right. But we were bringing up the point that, you know, they're ranked number 11. Now, granted, I think going back to your point, Glenn, and even the media season, if this does not change, if this offense does not show some sort of efficiency, some sort of rhythm, some sort of ability to produce big plays, then yes, this team is going 8-4 or 9-3.
Right. Yeah. Because last year they were on their way without much of a running game until they went into Texas A&M. But Nussmeier is nowhere near the numbers right now that he was last year. But if the passing game can somehow get turned around, and that's what they were working on in the open week. They have a chance. But I don't think the running game is ever going to be very good at all. It could get a little better. But, and I still really like the defense. But the only chance they have to really go on and have a great season and get to the playoffs is if we see a return of the 2024 Garrett Nussmeier.
It'd be nice to see the return of the Caden Durham that we saw in the South Carolina game last year, too.
Yeah, that would help. That would help.
I watched Vanderbilt and Alabama, Texas A&M this weekend, and I watched that's it. So that's all those. I don't see them easily beating any of those three teams.
Yeah. So you think they're much? Those teams are much better than LSU.
I think if they were I think that all three of those teams have the advantage of having more balance across all three units than LSU does.
Ooh, I don't know about A&M's offense.
All right,
A&M's offense looked great this weekend.
But their defense is nasty, right? Their defense is really good. All right, we'll take a break. Let's get you a scouting report on South Carolina. This is Tiger Rag Radio from the Super Chevy Dealer Studio.
When the power goes out, your life is disrupted. Heat, air conditioning, refrigeration, phones, all gone. Be prepared for the next outage with a Generac Home Standby Generator. After sensing a power outage, a Generac generator automatically restores your home's power, whether you're home or away. Power your life with a Generac Home Standby Generator.
Go online to BoudreausElectrical.com for information about Generac Standby Generators.
Cummins is known for their commitment to quality, performance, and products that are built to last. They make it their business to understand their customers' priorities and partner in their success. Cummins has the technical expertise and experience to deliver fast, high-quality repairs using genuine parts. And by calling 1-800-Cummins, you have access to one of the largest and most capable sales, service, and support organizations in the industry 24/7. For more information on Cummins' products, service, or support, call 1-800-Cummins.
Every winner knows a great play starts with a solid game plan and the right team by your side. At Sunshine, we're here to keep your operation running strong. From tractors to harvesters, we've got the John Deere equipment you need to tackle every job with confidence. Because when the work's done right, there's more time for the things that matter, like cheering on your favorite team. Make Sunshine Quality Solutions part of your playbook this season and learn more about what it means to be powered by Sunshine at sunequip.com.
Chevy trucks have you covered when the road takes you from smooth sailing to... Chevy Colorado will eat up some of the toughest terrains with five available drive modes. And Silverado and Silverado HD have the muscle to take you out for some serious... With multiple engine options and impressive towing. While Silverado EV is the perfect combo of performance and capability.
Nice.
Making it a snap to hitch up this electric truck and hit the road. Wherever the road leads, Chevy trucks are right there with you. See your super Chevy dealers today.
Louisiana Radio Network, I'm Andrew Greenstein. State police released their investigative findings on why they charged LSU wide receiver Kyren Lacy with negligent homicide.
Days after Lacy's attorney presented evidence that claimed Lacy was not at fault in the wreck last December in Lafourche Parish that killed a 78-year-old man, LSP released its own video, which shows Lacy, who was behind the wheel of a green Dodge Charger, driving at a high rate of speed, passing several vehicles in a no-passing zone.
The driver of the Kia Cadenza saw the approaching green Charger. In reaction, the Kia Cadenza driver swerved left into the southbound lane and impacted a northbound Kia Sorento.
LSP released body camera video that shows witnesses at the scene immediately pointing out that Lacy's reckless driving caused the fatal wreck.
Numerous witnesses who described a green Charger driving aggressively and causing the crash.
One man said that the female driver that hit the vehicle, which resulted in a fatality, was not at fault for veering to her left.
She had no choice.
I'm Jeff Palermo.
Lacy died by suicide just before a grand jury was to consider the charges. LRN.
Tiger fans, are you looking for the latest news on all things LSU? Then Tiger Rag Magazine is your go-to source. Whether you pick up the magazine or browse over to the website, Tiger Rag Magazine provides you with the most up-to-date information on all the sports, university, and recruiting news that matters to you. Find it at your local newsstand or online at TigerRag.com.
Here we come.
Let's face it, we all know that the recruiting scene at LSU can get a little wild. Don't fret. Now more than ever, Tiger Rag Magazine is staying ahead of the game when it comes to name, image, likeness regulations. Thanks to our Tiger Rag Magazine experts and analysts, we can help you understand what it means to LSU and how you can stay informed on this rapidly changing landscape. Plus, our website makes it easy for fans to get their hands on all the information they need about LSU athletics. Get your subscriptions today. So, if you're looking for in-depth coverage of everything LSU, look no further than Tiger Rag Magazine. Available on newsstands or online, TigerRag.com.
A sheriff's deputy in Iberville Parish is killed and another is fighting for his life after being shot outside the parish courthouse last night. Investigators say Deputy Charles Riley and Brett Stassi Jr. were trying to arrest 27-year-old Latrell Clark, but Clark grabbed one of their guns and shot them before fatally shooting himself. Riley was killed and Stassi was badly hurt. Iberville Parish District Attorney Tony Clayton.
They brought in grief counselors. It's a real somber mood around that courthouse. Today.
A blood drive is being held for Deputy Stassi. The full Fifth Circuit U.S. Court of Appeals is reconsidering a three-judge panel's ruling that the state's Ten Commandments law is unconstitutional. Loyola New Orleans law professor Dan Cialino says the state is arguing that a 1980 Supreme Court opinion that invalidated a similar law in Kentucky should not be used as precedent.
Later cases have rejected the analysis used back in 1980 for an approach that's more grounded in history and tradition than what used to be a tripartite balancing test.
LRN.
Tiger fans, are you looking for the latest news on all things LSU? Then Tiger Rag Magazine is your go-to source. Whether you pick up the magazine or browse over to the website, Tiger Rag Magazine provides you with the most up-to-date information on all the sports, university, and recruiting news that matters to you. Find it at your local newsstand or online at TigerRag.com.
Here we come.
Let's face it, we all know that the recruiting scene at LSU can get a little wild. Don't fret. Now more than ever, Tiger Rag Magazine is staying ahead of the game when it comes to name, image, likeness regulations. Thanks to our Tiger Rag Magazine experts and analysts, we can help you understand what it means to LSU and how you can stay informed on this rapidly changing landscape. Plus, our website makes it easy for fans to get their hands on all the information they need about LSU athletics. Get your subscriptions today. So, if you're looking for in-depth coverage of everything LSU, look no further than Tiger Rag Magazine. Available on newsstands or online, TigerRag.com.
You should call that radio station and let him have it.
Good idea.
1-800-673-5555.
I want to be under the bright lights. I want to be on the Broadway stage.
Tiger Rag Radio is on now.
And welcome to Tiger Rag Radio, back here from the Super Chevy Dealers Studio. Jeff Palermo along with the editor for Tiger Rag Magazine. And we bring in our next guest. That is Jordan Kay from the state in Columbia, South Carolina, as he covers the South Carolina Gamecocks, of course. Jordan, how you doing tonight?
I'm great. Thanks for having me on, guys.
Oh, it's great to have you on. What do you think of the season so far for South Carolina? Has it been much more underwhelming than you thought it would be?
I think it's been underwhelming for every South Carolina fan. I mean, coming into this year, I was looking at South Carolina's schedule, and it felt like it had to be 5-0 going into the LSU game if it kind of wanted to reach the goals it set for itself. And those goals were really make the college football playoff and win 10 games. And some of those goals might seem crazy for South Carolina, you know, historically, but this was a team last year that finished the regular season with 9 wins, was right on the verge of the college football playoff, and it felt like the next step, especially bringing back Lenora Sellers, was get to the college football playoff. And, you know, I'm sure a lot of your listeners have seen it, but the next 5 games for the Gamecocks are just brutal. I mean, 5 top 15 teams, just an absolute gauntlet. And it felt like, hey, if they're not 5-0 heading into the LSU game, like this, it could get bad. And, you know, they do have a chance to kind of rewrite things of their season, but it's going to be a tough stretch starting with LSU.
Hey, Jordan, thanks for joining us. This is Glenn Gilbo. What's the difference with Lenora Sellers this season at this point than early last season? He was really rolling against LSU until he hurt his ankle in the second quarter.
Yeah, you know, I actually thought, you know, he kind of took a step back almost after that LSU game. He got injured, you know, didn't practice for like a week and a half, I think, because they had a bye. And he didn't really start figuring things out till the end of the year. But this season, it just seemed like he wasn't completely comfortable in the new offense with the new offensive coordinator and Mike Shula. It was just weird, a weird dynamic of like when he was going to run, when he wasn't. And they were saying, oh, we haven't changed the playbook, we're not telling him not to run. But it just seemed like there was none of the aggressiveness, the willingness to run, to break out of the tackles, like the long run he had against LSU last year. We just didn't really see that a ton. And then against Kentucky 2 weeks ago, you really started to see the aggressiveness and the confidence in Sellers' legs. And he's really kind of turned into the guy a lot of people thought. And, you know, he's always going to be a pretty solid passer, a guy who can, you know, hit, you know, throw a pretty solid deep ball. He does miss on a couple throws every game, but, you know, he's kind of like Garrett Nussmeier, where it seems like their completion percentage is going to always hover right around, you know, 70%. The Kentucky game, it seemed like he figured out a lot of the running stuff that was hampering South Carolina the first, like, 4 games.
What's been the let's turn it over to Andre. Andre's got a question for you.
Hey, Jordan, can you hear me?
Yeah, I got you.
Can you talk about this South Carolina, maybe offensive line? I know that they've struggled throughout the season. I think I saw something that they're kind of at the bottom front of allowing sacks on the season with 15.
119th in the country, right?
Yeah. It's been a weird group because they brought back both their returning starting tackles and then brought in this kid from Troy who they were hyping up the entire offseason, say, this is our starting center, this guy's fantastic, blah, 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 blah. And then they go into the first game, and the offensive line is just getting steamrolled over. And since then, it's like they've just kept switching and switching guys and changing positions and doing this, benching guys. And then, you know, there were a couple injuries that changed things up. So I'm not exactly sure what type of who's going to show up for South Carolina's offensive line this week. They were a lot better against Kentucky, so I'm assuming they're going to stick with the majority of that group. But yeah, I mean, it's completely like up in the air. There are some games where they just look, you know, completely lost. Just, you know, how much, you know, we saw with LSU last year, like when the offensive line is 5-1 and really understands each other, like it works in harmony, and there was just no harmony for the first couple of games. And I mean, not just the sack, it's really impacted the rushing game. They had negative 9 yards against Missouri. So you're seeing it kind of all over.
Jordan, do you sense any confidence in the South Carolina defense or from the coaching staff going up against an LSU team that has really struggled to run the ball, and their quarterback is, whether he's hurt or not, there seems to be some mystery. He's definitely not throwing the ball like he did last year as accurately at times, and he's about and his numbers are way off from this point last year.
I mean, Shane Beamer today was very complimentary, of course, of Garrett Nussmeier and the whole LSU offense and all that. You know, he was like, "Hey, I saw LSU's offensive line last year, and you know they're clearly not there this season, and that's you know maybe he that's why he thought Nussmeier, you know, maybe was struggling a little bit and the injury." But man, if I'm South Carolina's defense right now, I mean, you got a guy like Dylan Stewart coming off the edge, and you know, I know it wasn't his best game last year. Will Campbell just kind of shut him down. I imagine he wants to get revenge, and this is a LSU offense. It doesn't seem like they've shown much this season. So I think South Carolina's probably got to be feeling pretty confident that they can at least get to Nussmeier. And, you know, South Carolina's been really good at, you know, causing turnovers this year, getting interceptions. You know, even in losses, they've won the turnover battle. So I think they can kind of go into this feeling pretty confident of like, hey, we have a chance here to stop these guys.
Jordan, what was it in the Missouri game that just really – obviously Missouri ran the ball all over South Carolina. And was that just mainly Missouri's that good when it comes to running the football, or is there a big deficiency there when it comes to defending the run?
I think we're still trying to figure out the same thing. I mean, that was one of the most – either Ahmad Hardy is like a Heisman contender.
Yeah.
Or there's some big problems. And – I mean, South Carolina did not tackle well in that game. And that was something they kind of was a bugaboo in the Vanderbilt game earlier in the year, too. So, I mean, this is a team that has shown, you know, hasn't been the greatest at tackling. They fixed that against Kentucky, but a lot of people fixed that against Kentucky. I think it was probably a little bit of both. I mean, Ahmad Hardy was just bowling over most of South Carolina's defenders. So I think their running backs were extremely tough to tackle, and I think just South Carolina – just had a really, really bad day.
South Carolina has not played in Baton Rouge since 2020. What kind of trip is this for the South Carolina fan base? And is this a unique game in their mind?
I'm curious to kind of see it myself. I mean, I've heard a decent number of people who are going, kind of making a trip out of it. Hey, go to New Orleans, you know, Thursday or Friday night and then stay. Especially with Gamecock Spencer Rattler leading the Saints and the Saints game on Sunday.
And he's 1-0. 1-0 Spencer Rattler, baby.
I was trying to get over there if they put the game at 1 o'clock or noon or whatever it is, but it's like a late game, so that stinks. So I think there's a decent amount of people going, but I haven't heard like last year the Oklahoma game. It just felt like every South Carolina fan was going because it was just the newness of it. This one, I'm not 100% sure. I'm kind of curious myself of, hey, did people book this 6 months ago thinking this is going to be a top 10 matchup, and or did they were they kind of waiting to see if South Carolina, you know, kind of was 5-0?
Jordan, we'll get you out on this. What do the Gamecocks need to do to get a win?
I mean, they need to get their run game going. Like that's kind of the thing of. If this offense can run the ball, I think there's a good chance. I feel pretty good about South Carolina's defense being able to kind of limit LSU's offense. I think the pass rush is going to be able to get there. I have a feeling they're going to, you know, force a couple turnovers. But if South Carolina can't get the run game going, I mean, this is one of those spots where it could just be a real low-scoring game. And at that point, it's kind of a coin flip. And you don't want to be South Carolina hoping for a coin flip in Death Valley. So if South Carolina can run the ball, kind of control the clock, I think they can get out of there with a win. But that's kind of a tall task.
First team to get 75 yards rushing is going to win the game.
I was thinking 60. I was thinking 60.
That's it. 60 yards rushing. That's your winner.
I might steal that. That's great.
first to 60 wins.
All right. Thanks, Jordan. Are you coming in for the game?
Yep. Coming in Thursday to New Orleans and then driving up Saturday morning to Baton Rouge.
All right, man.
That's the way to do it.
Excited. I'll see you guys there.
All right. Sounds great. Jordan Kay from the State, appreciate which, of course, is the big paper there in South Carolina. Can we call it still? Do we still call it a paper?
It's a great paper.
It is a great paper, but do we still use the word? Nobody ever uses the word paper.
They're still published as a newspaper, just like the Advocate.
Good.
It's a paper, baby.
We'll be back after this from the Super Chevy dealers. Studio.
Tiger fans, are you looking for the latest news on all things LSU? Then Tiger Rag Magazine is your go-to source. Whether you pick up the magazine or browse over to the website, Tiger Rag Magazine provides you with the most up-to-date information on all the sports, university, and recruiting news that matters to you. Find it at your local newsstand or online at TigerRag.com. Here we come. Let's face it, we all know that the recruiting scene at LSU can get a little wild. Don't fret. Now more than ever, Tiger Rag Magazine is staying ahead of the game when it comes to name, image, likeness regulations. Thanks to our Tiger Rag Magazine experts and analysts, we can help you understand what it means to LSU and how you can stay informed on this rapidly changing landscape. Plus, our website makes it easy for fans to get their hands on all the information they need about LSU athletics. Get your subscriptions today. So, if you're looking for in-depth coverage of everything LSU, look no further than Tiger Rag Magazine. Available on newsstands or online, TigerRag.com.
No more mold. No more damage. No more outdated old bathroom. No more slipping and hurting. No more stress. Make your ordinary bathroom extraordinary for only $99 per month. New shower, new door, new tub, new wall, new anti-slip technology. Be stress-free. Call 800-770-5322. BCI Bath and Shower is made in America for the highest quality. Ask about our military and senior discounts. Your dream bathroom in as little as one day. First 50 callers save $1,500 on a never-clear glass-treated door. Call now for free premium color upgrades. 800-770-5322. Call BCI Bath and Shower, the leader in bathroom remodeling. Be smart, safe, and stay a step ahead of inflation with our interest-free financing options. Call 800-770-5322. Love your bathroom with free upgrades. Call 800-770-5322. That's 800-770-5322.
Now, back to Tiger Rag Radio, live from Super Chevy Dealers Studio.
Back here on Tiger Rag Radio, Jeff Palermo, along with the editor for Tiger Rag Magazine, Glenn Gilbo, Andre Champagne, our producer tonight. What kind of role, and we could get Andre into this one as well, Carius Kern, where do you think he's playing on Saturday night?
First of all, we got to say that we got to wish Todd, he feels better. He was talking too much about LSU football, and he just got a little sick to his stomach, and he had to be excused. So we hope the best for Todd.
Yeah.
And for LSU.
Yeah, this was Todd Horn's flu show.
Yes, it was. But I'm sorry, go ahead, Andre.
Yeah, Andre, where are you're the Carius Kern expert. Where is he playing on Saturday?
So Brian Kent. You guys can hear me, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So Brian Kelly claims that he'll be ready to go at both guard and right tackle. From what I understand, is if Dylan Stewart matches up against Weston Davis, it might be a short outing for Weston Davis. But if he doesn't struggle, I really liked how Carius Kern blocked in pass pro against Ole Miss, but I don't really see him fitting as a guard now, right? I think Cohen Echols has done a pretty good job, granted.
But if Mbanga doesn't play, wouldn't he?
Right. That's what I'm thinking is Echols is probably going to be at left guard right now. Now, if Mbanga is playing hurt, you know, we could obviously see Carius Kern at some other spot. But
don't you think Kern has a chance of starting at right tackle?
I think so.
Yeah, me too.
I don't know about this week. I mean, it sounded like Brian Kelly wanted.
He didn't say Weston was going to start.
He didn't say he wouldn't start though. So
no,
I mean, he's been very defensive with Mr. Weston Davis.
Yeah, he has been. Even though the Pro Football Focus grades really ding Weston Davis,
you don't even have to look at the PFF grades. I mean, you just need to watch them.
But Kelly was real complimentary of Kern's physical play.
Well,
at Ole Miss,
Kern looked good.
He and he's a freshman. His head was on a swivel and it was swimming at the same time. But the intensity, we heard
playing like Fajoko wants you to play.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. We heard it from, and I know there's been others that I've heard from former LSU Tigers that have kind of also indicated that the intensity. We heard it from Derry Beckwith early on where he said, I think we had him on after the Clemson game where he said, when you're an offensive lineman, there's a want to about it. You want to go out there and be nasty against that guy that you're going up against. And he didn't see it. And that was early on in the season. So this is not something – this has been a kind of a common – it's almost like there's not a mean streak with these guys.
I will say that Kerryce Kern, you have to learn somehow. You have to make those mistakes.
Yeah,
he's a freshman, right?
For sure.
Going on the road playing against, you know, I would say Ole Miss has some talented pass rushers as well on the edge. That's not easy to do by any means. I honestly think he did well in pass protection. He had a few pancakes actually.
Yeah.
But it's crazy because he has the lowest run block. But the thing is they wouldn't have been able to run the ball whether he could block or not.
Well, that's,
they don't run the ball to the outside.
I think that was what I was trying to say. If I didn't get my point out clearly, is even though he was making mistakes, at least the guy was playing at a level of intensity that the other four were not.
Right.
And you'll accept that. You understand the guy's going to make mistakes. There was the one – I can't remember exactly what ended up – I just remember his reaction where the guy came – the Ole Miss defender came around the edge and he blew right past him and immediately put his hands on his helmet, Kerryce Kern, knowing that he screwed up. That's fine. Okay. But the guy was going out there and he was looking to dominate his opponent, and you're not really seeing that from the other four guys on the line. So – it's a mess, but we'll see. We'll see if the bye week provided some sort of healing touch, some sort of improving touch. We got one more segment to do here to wrap up Tiger Rag Radio, so stay tuned as we continue on here from the Super Chevy Dealer Studio.
Louisiana Farm Bureau Federation. My brother and I grow rice, soybeans, and raise crawfish on our farm in Evangeline Parish. For a fourth-generation farmer like myself, Louisiana Farm Bureau is as much a part of my life as checking traps or harvesting rice. Our organization is more than 145,000 members strong, and we've been around for more than 100 years. The Louisiana Farm Bureau spans generations, and we want you to join our family.
Visit lafarmbureau.org, the Louisiana Farm Bureau Federation, the voice of Louisiana agriculture.
Cummins is known for their commitment to quality, performance, and products that are built to last. They make it their business to understand their customers' priorities and partner in their success. Cummins has the technical expertise and experience to deliver fast, high-quality repairs using genuine parts. And by calling 1-800-Cummins, you have access to one of the largest and most capable sales, service, and support organizations in the industry 24/7. For more information on Cummins products, service, or support, call 1-800-Cummins.
Chevy trucks have you covered when the road takes you from smooth sailing to Chevy Colorado will eat up some of the toughest terrains with 5 available drive modes. And Silverado and Silverado HD have the muscle to take you out for some serious with multiple engine options and impressive towing. While Silverado EV is the perfect combo of performance and capability,
nice,
making it a snap to hitch up this electric truck and hit the road. Wherever the road leads, Chevy trucks are right there with you. See your super Chevy dealers today.
When the power goes out, your life is disrupted. Heat, air conditioning, refrigeration, phones, all gone. Be prepared for the next outage with a Generac home standby generator. After sensing a power outage, a Generac generator automatically restores your home's power, whether you're home or away. Power your life with a Generac home standby generator.
Go online to BoudreausElectrical.com for information about Generac standby generators.
Tiger fans, are you looking for the latest news on all things LSU? Then Tiger Rag Magazine is your go-to source. Whether you pick up the magazine or browse over to the website, Tiger Rag Magazine provides you with the most up-to-date information on all the sports, university, and recruiting news that matters to you. Find it at your local newsstand or online at TigerRag.com. Here we go! Let's face it, we all know that the recruiting scene at LSU can get a little wild. Don't fret. Now more than ever, Tiger Rag Magazine is staying ahead of the game when it comes to name, image, likeness regulations. Thanks to our Tiger Rag Magazine experts and analysts, we can help you understand what it means to LSU and how you can stand formed on this rapidly changing landscape. Plus, our website makes it easy for fans to get their hands on all the information they need about LSU athletics. Get your subscriptions today. So, if you're looking for in-depth coverage of everything LSU, look no further than Tiger Rag Magazine. Available on newsstands or online, TigerRag.com.
How you doing? This is Snoop Dogg.
Tiger Rag. Tiger Rag Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, you are tuned in.
Talk LSU sports, interviews, opinions, and your calls around the Tiger Nation.
Baton Rouge was a life for me. Home of the LSU Tigers.
Now more Tiger Rag Radio.
Hey, we love to score and get highlights and championships and play to win.
Tiger Rag Radio.
All right, final segment of the show. Jeff Palermo along with the editor for Tiger Rag Magazine, Glenn Gilbo, and Andre Champagne with us. Let's go over the schedule. This is a very juicy schedule this week, it's amazing the weeks you think like nothing's going to happen in college football, yet, you know, Penn State, and I'm so glad Penn State lost.
UCLA came out of nowhere.
But when you try to scheme the system like they do by playing four powder puff teams in a non-conference to give yourself the better chance, you get what you deserve, and they got it, and I'm so glad that they lost. And I just don't – I think that's not the spirit of what – everybody – most teams are playing a good
You have one or two run of wins, not four.
Yeah, that what they do is ridiculous. And so, you know, karma, that's what it is. But
and how about Billy Napier? He refuses to die. The right. Coach who won't go away.
And you know, as much and Texas, we hit on it earlier, just the problems that they got going on right now. And Arch Manning, what do you think of what he's been so far this season?
You know, he's been disappointing, but I disagree with The Athletic. They're calling him like one of the biggest flops in college football history. I mean, it's a little early for that. And I think The Athletic and other media outlets are guilty of expecting too much of him. Because of his last name.
Yeah.
You know? Now, but he has been a disappointment. He has. But, you know, and he might not ever be as great as his publicity, but it's too early.
I think it's too early, too. I'm not ready to give up on the kid. He obviously probably needs another year. Those that thought he'd be a one-year starter and then move on to the NFL, I think he obviously needs another year. And
shoot, he might need a third year.
Let's look at we've alluded to it ourselves many times. Look at Joe Burrow's first year starting. Look at Jaden Daniels' first year starting at LSU. It wasn't there were a lot of rough spots in there. So.
Right, not quite like this, but you're right. And you know, he came in with so many expectations.
Yeah.
But you know, a lot of people saw that Florida win coming. I heard that was a popular like upset special
because
it was kind of a dangerous game. For Texas, but go over this week's schedule.
Well, Florida at Texas A&M. Well, we're almost out of time here. Florida at Texas A&M. What do you think? Can the Gators do it 2 weeks in a row?
I don't think so. I think the Aggies will take that game.
Georgia goes to Auburn.
Georgia.
Yeah.
Easy.
Oklahoma and Texas.
Watch Texas come back and win that game.
Yeah.
Because I think Oklahoma's kind of overrated. Watch Texas come back and win that game.
Alabama, Missouri at 11 a.m. How about that game for 11?
Take Missouri.
Yeah, I like how Missouri's playing too.
I think Alabama's going to be feeling a little too good about themselves, and the fighting journalists from Columbia Mo are going to come back.
What do you think of that game, Andre?
I've got Alabama. Come on, guys. But I do think Missouri's going to run the ball well.
Yeah. Eli Drinkwitz is going to be one of the hottest coaches in the country at the end of this season.
He might be. He might be. LSU South Carolina.
I think LSU's going to win big. I do. I think they're going to win by two touchdowns.
Okay. The point spread's 9.5. It's come down a little bit. I think the Tigers win, too. I don't know if it's going to be a pretty win, but I like LSU to win. What about you, Andre?
I think LSU covers.
Okay. All right.
I was a little surprised by that point spread.
I have my reasons, too, as well.
Why? You think it's too low?
Well, no, I thought the point spread was a little high. LSU to be a 9.5 or 10-point favorite.
I don't know. This South Carolina offense is really bad.
Yeah. But I just don't trust them. Until I see them really stop a dual-threat quarterback, I don't know if I'm gonna believe it until I see it. That's I can see Sellers having a big play. All right, let's wrap it up. Andre Champagne, Glenn Gilbo for the ill Todd Horn. I'm Jeff Palermo. For the latest in LSU sports, check out TigerRag.com.
Tiger Rag is everywhere. Online at TigerRag.com. Like us on Facebook at Facebook.com/TigerRag Magazine. Or follow us on Twitter at Tiger_Rag.